Hello, welcome to the April Journal American Society of Nephrology podcast. I'm Josie Briggs, editor-in-chief of the journal. Each month, we choose a few papers to talk about that we think are of broad interest and illustrate the incredible range and power of the nephrology science that we are publishing. This month, I want to tell you about six papers. The first is a study by Wysocki et al., taking on one of the interesting questions for everyone in this pandemic, which is, how does this virus interact with kidney cells? They undertook to use a soluble angiotensin converting enzyme protein to inhibit binding of the S spike of the SARS-CoV-2 to the full-length membrane-bound ACE receptor, and developed a bioengineered soluble ACE protein of shorter molecular size, fused it with albumin to extend its duration of action, and then working in human kidney organoids that can be infected by SARS-CoV-2, they found that the transmembrane protease needed for infectivity could be, the binding could be inhibited with the soluble ACE2 variant, suggesting possibly that may have potential therapeutic or preventive use. Next paper I thought it interesting to tell you about is using machine learning. This is a computational assessment of kidney fibrosis. We are seeing a lot of machine learning applications to image processing. Images of kidney pathology are important, a research tool in the work we publish. Again, they all are reporting in this issue, the April issue of JASN, reliable digital automated detection method to quantitate interstitial fibrosis. They've developed and tested a machine learning algorithm to replicate the renal pathologist's visual assessment of fibrosis and glomerular sclerosis. They found that the machine learning methods showed agreement similar to that seen among renal pathologists and also good statistical association with patient outcome. We think these methods can help expedite research on very large digital archives of renal biopsies and may eventually benefit clinical practice by acting as a stand-in for the pathologist's reading of kidney fibrosis, especially in settings where renal pathology expertise is limited or unavailable. There's an editorial accompanying describing the potential of this work. Another exciting publication in the April issue is a large single-cell data resource. This work has been led by Chen et al. They showed that each of the 14 different renal tubule cells using RNA-seq methods can have characterized gene expression patterns. And they provide detailed mapping of the transcripts, which has in previous studies been limited towards transcript ends. Coupling full-length RNA-seq analysis with renal tubule microsection, they characterized gene expression all along the mouse renal tubule, including mapping transcript abundance and use of alternative exons. The data provide a comprehensive view of gene expression along the nephron and collecting duct, and it's available to scientists using a user-friendly web resource. To move into the more clinical work, we have, I think, an important study by Schold and co-workers on access to kidney transplantation. There have been numerous efforts over the past decades to improve access to kidney transplantation among patients with failing kidneys. Schold et al. Conducted a retrospective cohort study in this population to evaluate the longitudinal pattern of rate of transplant, waiting list placement, and actual transplantation. And they found that, disappointingly, the rate of waitlist placement and actual transplantation has not improved over the two decades where they had data, and was consistently reduced among more vulnerable populations. These results indicate that more effective interventions are needed, as well as increased donation rates, to improve access to transplantation in the United States. An important study, I think, is on laxative use and abnormalities of serum potassium. Increased excretion of potassium in the stool is a compensatory mechanism of potential value in patients with advanced CKD, and it is enhanced by laxative use. But little has been known about the association of laxative use with the risk of abnormalities of serum potassium in patients with failed kidneys. In a large cohort of adults transitioning to end-stage replacement therapy, time-varying laxative use was significantly associated with lower risk of hyperkalemia, but not with a risk of hypokalemia during the last year prior to the initiation of kidney replacement therapy. These findings suggest that constipation may contribute to potassium abnormality, and also support, with careful consideration for risks and benefits, therapeutic potential of laxatives for hyperkalemia management in advanced CKD. This study is by Sunita and co-workers. The last paper I want to mention is one that looks at the use of urinary exosomes, of the mRNA that is trapped in them, to potentially help in management of kidney transplant recipients. The traditional biomarkers used to monitor for allograft rejection are relatively late markers of injury and lack sensitivity and specificity. Consequently, transplant docs rely on allograft biopsies, but they are invasive and costly. Elteke and co-workers describe discovery and validation of multi-gene signatures based on the mRNA present in urinary exosomes and evaluate their contribution to diagnosing T-cell-mediated and antibody-mediated rejection. They demonstrate that the exosomes have high stability, and the approach appears to have some potential reliability for monitoring rejection. These two signatures showed high predictive performance, and this new approach, although not yet ready for broad clinical use, is, we think, showing substantial promise as providing new tools for monitoring the emergence of rejection in kidney allografts. So this is an exciting set of six papers that April Jason will soon be in your mailbox. These are only six of about 15 exciting original manuscripts, but are ones that the editors thought were of particular broad interest. So thank you for listening.
This podcast is copyrighted by the American Society of Nephrology. All rights reserved. All content in this podcast is for informational purposes only and is not intended to be medical advice. This podcast should not be used in a medical emergency or for the diagnosis or treatment of any medical condition. Please consult your doctor or other qualified healthcare provider if you have any questions about any medical condition or before taking any drug, changing your diet, or commencing or discontinuing any course of treatment. Thank you for listening to this podcast from the American Society of Nephrology.